Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with The Second Tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search Second Tier in your podcast app.
And hit subscribe.
One of us has just found out for the first time that Newcastle United are playing Man City away by reading this very running order in the next round of the FA Cup. This is Ramble React. I'm Pete Donaldson.
And I'm Luke Moore.
Terrible news, and a terrible way to find out about it, to be quite frank, Lukey Mia. I'm reading this running order, and I had completely forgot that they were doing the old FA Cup draw before these round of fixtures. And, what a stinker. What an utter stinker, Lukey Mia.
Terrible way to find out. What do you expect? What? Like someone to take you personally into a quiet side room and sit you down and say, Peter, the results have come back from the draw. And I'm sorry. Would you like to bring a loved one in to talk to you? I'm afraid it is Manchester City away. So we could talk through some different options if you like.
Techniques, tactics.
One is to bury your head under your pillow for the next 3 weeks and pretend it's not happening.
It's horrible. I just don't like seeing it in a Google Docs Ramble
React.
No, it's
fair enough. And the thing is, the reason it's affected you so bad, and given that you are the most pessimistic, almost bordering on nihilistic person I know when it comes to football, you have found yourself daring to dream.
Yeah.
I heard you talking about Wembley earlier today, and I thought, that's not the Pete Donaldson I know. So take your medicine, big boy. Suck it up.
Marcus has lured me into thinking that we're going to win the Euros, looking at everybody. I mean,
what, Newcastle?
Well, I just think England are going to win the Euros. Not because they're particularly good. It's just that everyone's a bit rubbish. And that's certainly not something you could say about Manchester City in the last round, certainly, of the FA Cup. But one match is going to take place tonight. Nottingham Forest 0, Man United 1. Casemiro, just... The good thing was he allowed us to not watch another half an hour of that. And I think that's a good thing in many ways.
You said to me that Casemiro is a guy that looks like he's always having an allergic reaction to something.
I said he needs a Puritan. He looks very like he's just had some kind of sort of skin peel or something. He looks very puffy.
Do you reckon that's why he headed it?
This will
clear me bonce.
He's got a big face, and I just get the sense that, I mean, to be fair, he was straining so hard that his head exploded, his head started bleeding after the goal, after the celebrations.
I don't think that's an official diagnosis, is it?
No. Again, I'm not a doctor, and it's.
And now there's producer Finn. How many times do you have to repeat that in everyday life?
Exactly. Exactly. Usually when I'm in hospital, I would say.
But it was a very, very kind gesture by Casemiro to do that a minute from the end. And I think all of us collectively, I mean, unless you support Nottingham Forest, you're going to have collectively exhaled at seeing that goal go in. I would have, look, I'll be perfectly honest, just because it's great for the content and for the show, I'd have preferred a Nottingham Forest last minute winner. Because, because old Eric Ten Hag's getting a little bit testy these days.
I'd love to have seen what happened. He's getting a little bit big for his boots. I mean, he apparently the Man United team wanted a day off. And then you sort of think, well, I mean, they're playing, what is it, Thursday? Yeah, I mean, they're right back in again. They shouldn't be having days off, really. They're playing on in midweek. Outrageous.
I like the way the Manchester United coaching team have probably been like, okay, so he lost at home to Fulham. Be interesting to see the reaction from the team here. Let's just see how they are, see what they how they want to go about it from after that. Day off, is it?
Okay. One might posit that they had a night off tonight, to be quite frank. Eric Ten Hag saying, we scored in the right moment. It's the best time to score at the end. I mean, he's a man for the razzle-dazzle, has to be
said. You can't fault the logic on that.
You can't fault the logic.
I didn't enjoy the game.
No, I don't think anyone did.
I watched it from either side. It needed a goal earlier on. And a lot's been made of United's numbers being poor and how they concede so many shots. And I know Jeremy Carragher had a big old dig, and Eric Ten Hag reacted to that dig. And that's kind of really it's an absolutely brutal sign that the manager's under pressure because he's actually caring what people on TV say.
Yeah.
And that's not great. And it would have put United and him under huge pressure to be knocked out of the FA Cup by Nottingham Forest, who are really, you know, in the grand scheme of things, quite a poor Premier League team. But what I don't... I mean, maybe they did do this. Maybe I'm being a bit harsh. Forest did have a fair share of chances. I was going to say, why didn't they just go after it and really try and put United under pressure early on? I suppose they kind of tried to do that, but their finishing was so poor that they couldn't really make it happen. And then the longer it sticks around, the longer that... United are in there, you think, okay, they've got a chance of scoring. But, you know, individual players that United have got are basically the reason that they can pick up positive results. I mean...
In these situations. It's not conditioning, is it? It doesn't seem to be conditioning.
It doesn't seem to be any kind of coherent plan at all.
Yeah.
And I say that about individual players. Like McTominay, he pops up with stuff. He played pretty well before he got subbed off. Fernandes was amongst it a lot. But there were some really kind of hallmark bad performances as well. I thought Anthony was really poor. I thought Rashford was really poor. And, you know, Forrest will probably look back at that and go, God, that was there for the taking.
Yeah.
And we couldn't make it happen. So it was a shame from their point of view. But United are in the hat. I mean, they won't be going any further than this because they're playing Liverpool next. and that is a mismatch. But you know, they've got to enjoy the win and the fact that they're in the quarterfinal.
Yeah, did you enjoy again extending and extrapolating the match to its very zenith? One would argue there was a lengthy VAR check for offside before the goal was eventually given. I do like it when co-commentators make it clear that they can hear what's going on in the referee's ears because they apparently aren't supposed to talk about the fact that they can hear something that the people watching at home can't see. But Alan Shearer just went, "Yeah, he said that Varane wasn't involved." Like almost immediately.
Yeah, Alan Shearer chose violence tonight.
He did. He was all over the place.
Absolutely disgusted with Anthony and Bruno Fernandes at times and Marcus Rashford. He was getting properly angry. It's really good to listen to. He absolutely battered Anthony when he got subbed off. He just basically did a real quick potted history bullet points of all the shortcomings of Anthony's game and then just ended it by going, not good enough for the price tag. Going back to your specific question about the VAR check, I don't think VAR checks should be taken 6 minutes.
No,
I just don't see how that can be a good. I don't see how anyone sees that as a good thing.
Well, because it was an offside check that they ruled out any interference by other players in the back line and in the front line quite early. So it was just a straight VAR offside check. So I don't really know.
Yeah, but am I completely out of? You know, out of my mind to say that if it's an offside check and you can't quite see because it's crowded, then he's not offside.
He's on,
So don't worry about it. Just get on with it. If it's not clear, it's not clear. If he's not clearly not got something that's score with a scorable part of his body to in front of a last defender, because you've got a camera looking along the line. So just get on with it.
Yeah,
I don't see why it should take so long. Do you know what it is? I feel like it's just nerds having too much power.
Right.
I think you need nerds. Like
you
on
need
certain,
nerds
things,
sometimes.
Certain things, certain things. I'm a nerd, right?
Right.
We've all got a nerd in us, but I don't think you ever want the nerds running the place.
No, well,
too many
I mean,
rules.
I don't think it's a nerd. I think it's like an officious middle manager. I don't think it's the nerds. The nerds are helping the officious middle managers, but I don't think the nerds have taken over the asylum, so to speak.
I think they have. I understand what you're saying, but Sam Diss, formerly of Mundial and presently of many different interesting football projects, called it right. He said it's basically nerds trying to turn football decisions into like Dungeons and Dragons with a massive rule book. And oh, actually, technically, it's this, and no one wants it. No one
it's
wants
Baldur's
that.
Gate 3. They've turned it into Baldur's Gate 3 without the sex. Right? Okay.
It is.
Fair,
yeah. usually. But I don't think it should be that longer delay, particularly at such a it's a knockout cup game. It's the last minute of normal time. We don't need to be waiting around that long. It kills it. It absolutely kills it. But that's the negative. Nottingham Forest fans will see what happened is a complete negative as well. But can I talk to you a bit about a positive?
Yeah, go on.
Wayne Rooney in the studio.
Wayne Rooney in the studio. New York. Well, he was on punditry duties. He didn't talk about his tiny penis, which is certainly something that I wanted to hear about this morning. But he did say he's targeting the Everton or Man United job in the next 10 years. That seems like a long time for the way that man treats his body.
To remember his last job.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I just say, though, I want to keep it positive. He looks amazing.
Yeah,
he does. Absolutely amazing.
Lovely to see him.
He's the ultimate normcore bloke. Like, you know, if you think, it's just absolutely unreal how much of a normal bloke he looks.
Yeah, I want to
think
see
of
what
any
car
other
drives.
Footballer, mate, at the top level, think of any other footballer that could ever look like that.
He's the most normal chap. I would say that I want to see what car he drives. I imagine he leases a Range Rover. He can afford to pay for it, but he just thinks leasing it is the vibe I'm going for.
I'll tell you, if I didn't know who Wayne Rooney was, if I had no context, and I went to my local, like I do on a Friday afternoon for a pint, and he walked in, and a load of other people were in there, and they were just saying, like, guess the profession of each person.
Yeah.
Straight away.
In steel.
Without even thinking about it, straight away, I'm going butcher.
Butcher, yes.
He looks like a butcher.
He does look like a butcher. He does.
It's just incredible, given that he is the age. I don't mean this in a negative way whatsoever. I'm not trying to shame the guy. I think I like
him more now than I ever
tremendous.
Did as a footballer.
It's tremendous how normal he looks, given that he is I think 39 years old. I think I'm right in saying he is. Only been retired. No, he's 38 even. Sorry, I just checked. He's only been retired under 3 years.
Yeah. We're 4 years older than him.
Instantly, bang, normal bloke.
Yeah, normal bloke. Just became it overnight.
He looks like he's got a shirt and a suit jacket from, you know, Moss Bros. Shoved it on. And
long-tall Sally's.
No other recently retired football player looks anything like that.
No. You used to see that sort of thing a lot more in the 90s, but I'm a big fan of how Wayne Rooney has chosen to...
He looks better than Jenas.
He does look better than Jermaine Jenas. I bet he doesn't wear such expensive watches. I'll tell you what, we talked about VAR checks and referee whatnotery, but Nottingham Forest's new referee analyst Mark Clattenburg was seen watching the game in the stands...
He looked dreadful.
...with the head of Pugmall, Howard Webb. What's that about then? That must be a... kind of conflict of interest.
Not great for the optics, is it?
It's not great for the optics, unless they were talking purely about gladiators.
Yeah, could have been. It's a hard one. I'm not sure that's going to wash with the powers that be, though.
No. Would you regard those two as being absolute pencil-necked geeks?
Well, I would just say just seeing Mark Clattenburg is terrible optics, full stop.
Yeah.
But I think Howard Webb's all right. I think he's trying his best, and I think he's a good guy. I think he's regularly let down.
Yeah,
you know.
Just full stop by the people who administer his game, the beautiful game.
And I think Clatt's, to be perfectly honest, you know, I'm not one to talk, and you know, I'm not going to go too deep on what people look like, because I think Rooney looks amazing. So every yin there's a yang. I think Clatt's looks dreadful.
Right, okay, fair.
I think he had a terrible saggy roll. I mean, here's the key to a roll neck. You're wearing one now yourself.
I'm wearing
here's
one now,
key.
Yeah.
It's got to be tight and taut.
Right.
It can't
was
be saggy
like
around the neck.
It was like a snood.
It was almost like he had been made promises about washing settings that have not been
that
kept. And he also hadn't had a shave. So it looked like a bit of a divorcee combo.
Right.
So I was disappointed to see that, Peter. But, you know, not as disappointed as I was to see Anthony, who is, I think, possibly the most predictable player that's ever played in the Premier League.
Right, okay. What do you mean, as in just the decisions he makes, his cutting inside, you just know he's going to do it every time?
And I was always present when I played football as a youngster, when the manager would be coaching the wingers. And if you're a winger, I know it's different now because the wingers are inverted and they like to play on opposite sides so they can cut inside and cause a bit of havoc, and I get that. But, you know, Saka does it. I was at the Emirates on Saturday. Saka was, you know, sensational at it. I mean, he's brilliant at it. Mm. But with Saka, there's still an element of unpredictability. And when I played when I was younger and the manager would be coaching the wingers, you'd get, if you were a winger back then and you cut inside all the time and laid it off, you get bollocked for being cowardly, for not taking a chance, for not trying to make something happen.
Not beating the man and then whipping it in.
He does it all the time and he costs 100 million quid. All he does is cut inside and lay it off.
It's modern football, isn't it?
It's just, I just think it's getting beyond a joke now. Mm. How kind of predictable he is. And yeah, I just think, you know, there's something about Manchester United at the moment. They're, you know, they've got good players, so ultimately, regularly, they're going to pick up wins without really looking that good. I mean, they've won so many of their last however many games. I mean, they lost against Luton. I'm sorry, against Fulham. Fair enough. They haven't lost since December before that, and that was against Forest away in the league. So they've still got some stuff to credit them. But part of me just thinks that it's just good players that just, you know, right, the quality rises to the top. It's not some kind of system or anything that vaguely resembles tactics. And when I was at the Emirates on Saturday, I mean, Arsenal looked fucking unbelievable. So good. Like, you know, they don't concede any chances. Newcastle couldn't get anywhere near it. I know Newcastle haven't been as good, and you know, they're kind of giving up a lot of goals, and they're not the team they were perhaps last season or even at the start of this season. But it was men against boys. It really was. And you don't ever really see United dominate a game, even though they pick up wins.
I mean, people were comparing that Man United's last win in the FA Cup against Forest in 1990 with this one, for some reason. Well, for one specific reason. That win saved Sir Alex Ferguson's job, who obviously went on to do some beautiful stuff in the 90s and the noughties. Has this saved Ten Hag's? I would say probably not. It was a very unconvincing win.
I think it's a bit of a fucking harsh comparison, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think the uncertainty around, the difference here, I think, is the uncertainty. It's a very different game these days, of course, but the uncertainty here as well is the fact that United are under new ownership and new stewardship, and the new guy who's obviously not the majority owner now, Jim Radcliffe, but he's making a lot of the football decisions. He's now starting to become more more vocal and more public. And, you know, before the game, the BBC were advertising an interview with Jim Radcliffe about Man United, and it's like, it's always an understanding or a feeling that could, because they're such a big club and they can go out and get whoever they, not whoever they want, but they can go out and get big name managers, that Ten Hag is perhaps under pressure because of that through no fault of his own. But then it is through fault of his own because they're miles off it. I mean, they've spent so much money. Their wage bill, I was reading something earlier about their wage bill, it's miles higher than Arsenal's. And Arsenal's are, you know, really kicking their asses in the Premier League as it goes. So, look, I don't think it's necessarily worth saying that's going to save his job, because, I mean, I guess if they win the FA Cup, maybe that'll have a bearing on it. But ultimately, they're still miles off what they need to do.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Are you excited to get started? Don't push me.
You're on television.
Doesn't look good. Doesn't look good being manhandled by security, Eric. It's Man United, a big club.
Well, in the next round, they are going to be facing off against Liverpool, so that journey will not go much further than that. Liverpool 3, Southampton 0 in the FA Cup. Kumas on the 44th minute, and Dans twice in the second half too. Dans,
yeah, nice.
Etc. Liverpool started with 6 players 21 years or younger in this game, with 14 senior players out injured. As I know, Southampton have kind of... They haven't flattered us, they've been very good this season. I expected a bit more from them because they did show a lot of early promise in this match. They were quite good. Andy Brassel pointed out that, of course, he was on Lekeep's app.
Yeah,
of course, Lekeep has an app, and of course, Andy Brassel is on that app every hour of the day. But Lekeep's app had Jason Kumas as the first goal scorer in this game rather than his son Lewis. I'm fairly certain that's a Ramble exclusive because Andy is the only one on that app, which is very enjoyable. And Andy did make the point that Jason Kumas, it's not the weirdest thing in the world because he has had 15 years rest. So he could have just, you know, started off where he...
He's fresh.
He's fresh.
He's really fresh.
And he's raring to go. But yeah, I mean, an astonishing amount of young players in this football match. Traoré came on and became Liverpool's youngest FA Cup player in history, in Liverpool's history anyway. Born 30th of June 2007. And do you know what happened on that day? June 30th, 2007, Luke?
It's sickening to be that young and it's 2 months yeah. after the Ramble started. What's the big thing that happened on that day?
A man punched a terrorist in the face at Glasgow Airport.
Great stuff.
So, and if Traoré is not getting interviewed about that in the post-match, the media has fallen somewhere. But yeah,
it was an act so masculine that it actually made his mother pregnant. Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah, and give birth in the same day. Yeah. I was thinking about that. I was thinking 9 months.
Don't work, is it? Don't work.
Cannot be asked. But yeah, some nice goals scored in this one. Jayden Dan's goal was a bit of a cheeky dink. Liverpool have the sons of Jason Kumas, Neil Dans, and Mino Figueroa in their academy. Is it really usually this easy, Luke? Just get the kids in? Just get the literal kids of really good footballers?
You missed a Lee Clarkson, Bobby, as well.
And Lee Clarkson, he got all the headlines at the weekend, didn't he? So it's fine.
Yeah. It's an absolute army of players' sons.
Yeah.
It's crazy how many that are coming through at the same time. And I think someone ran some statistics a while back about how difficult it is to be a professional football player full stop, and like you've got a 0.001% chance or whatever of being a top level player. But actually, if your mother or father has been a professional athlete, that increases massively. And if your father's been a professional football player specifically, it increases again. Yeah. So I think when you talk about the numbers that are involved, it's not that surprising generally, but the fact that like Liverpool are going to start to put out hopefully an entire first 11 just of players who we used to watch as kids' sons, all at the same time is incredible to witness. Neil Dan's son Jayden has been highly rated for a long old time. Obviously got 2 tonight. He is a local lad. His dad is a Scouser. His dad started out at Liverpool. I don't think he ever played for them, but he started out there. I remember him playing a lot for Crystal Palace. And interestingly enough, his dad, so Jaden's grandfather, actually competed in the 1987 Eurovision Song Contest. So star quality's been there from the very, very start.
Didn't
mate.
Say that one coming. Didn't know that
no,
fact.
That's he was a backing singer for the right. British entry that eventually finished 13th. But what I'm saying is, show business has always run in the blood. It's always been in the family right. by the look of it.
So these guys just sound like absolute dickhead nepo babies then. Basically.
Yeah, but I think they've probably worked quite hard to get where they are.
Well, that's the thing, though, with football, to varying degrees, you can sort of say, well, it is... there are some statistical measurements you can take. It's not just who you know.
Unless you're Alex Bruce.
True. There is, yeah, there is. On the Nevilles, or let's face it, the Beckhams. Any
Gary,
of them,
Gary Neville's got about 85 caps for England. You can't
Gary,
have a go at
no,
him.
No, I'm saying Gary Neville. I'm just saying like Phil Neville's.
Harvey
kids,
Neville, you mean?
Harvey Neville. That's what I mean. Yeah, that's. I'm not saying that Phil Neville and Gary Neville had it that easy.
There was a kind of story, wasn't there, a while back about the Beckham son who is the football player who was most recently.
He sort of gave up for a bit, didn't he? Sort of gave up for a couple of years and then.
Yeah,
and
he's most recently at Brentford, wasn't he?
Yes,
and
yes.
He got,
yes,
I think someone
Brentford
had a word.
Toes.
And I think it's Romeo Beckham who plays, and he's playing for like Brentford's reserve team or whatever. But at one point, he wanted to be a footballer, didn't he? And so he had this amazing facility set up at his family home. And then he decided he wanted to be a tennis player. So they ripped out the whole thing and put a whole tennis court in and a whole tennis facility in. And they changed his mind again, so they ripped it up and put the football thing back. And it's almost a bit like. Yeah,
give me some micro machines.
Yeah, it's kind of an inversion of that meme, isn't it? With Victoria Beckham. Be honest. Do you want to be a football player? Be honest. Tennis. Thank
would
you.
I mean, would you be able to? How high up the leagues could you get if you just converted your house into like had one of those like really futuristic German? They've got those octagon things where balls come out.
It's called the football knot.
The football knot.
Yeah.
I really would very much like to have a crack at the football knot. If anybody is listening who is familiar with the night watchman who looks after the football knot or whatever it's called.
I want to sneak in there after hours
and just see how I would do. Because I've been criticised for many years for my football skill and I need it tested.
I don't think this is going to dispel any of those issues, any of those doubts that people have, mate.
Right.
What do you think is going to happen? So, the chief analyst at like Dortmund is going to see you.
I've never seen anything like this. He'd say
he's doing it in a roll neck.
Yeah. Okay. Apparently, Hoffenheim have a football knot, and he's been trying to have a go on it for an episode of the NCC. If Andy Brassel can't get in for crying out loud,
yeah, I remember.
How are they going to let me get in there?
It's a big German innovation, and they fly out from all angles and from all heights as well.
Yeah, it'd be so exciting. I'd shit my pants. Someone has soiled the football knot.
You won't be able to do it in your winkle pickers and your waistcoat. You'd have to put your gear on.
Yeah, again, just like Bergin.
So are you saying that basically these nepo babies got football knotted straight out the womb? So
exactly,
basically,
yeah,
they were fired out of one of the windows to be born.
Yeah, to be kicked into a professional contract.
Possible. It is totally possible, yeah.
Just great to see that Klopp's legacy, that he's managing to squeeze into the last like 3 months of his job at Liverpool, seems to be bringing through a lot of youth players and just throwing as much very young mud at the wall and see what sticks. And sort of going, I give him his chance. Yeah, I played him loads in the last season of my career.
It's a proper legacy move,
lovely.
Isn't it? And also, we have to give him huge credit for stopping Southampton's terrifying run to the latter stages of the FA Cup. We cannot have them winning trophies. It's very, very important that A, they don't win trophies, and B, Russell Martin, who I think is a really good manager, moves on as soon as possible.
Right, okay. You wanted their dreams crushed, and people who ostensibly just look like you, have the same thoughts and feelings and dreams as you, because you are from a neighbouring city. You want their dreams crushed, and you want their dreams not to be realised.
You don't know they've got the same dream as me. You don't know what they've got what goes on in my head, mate.
They're probably just... what is a purely Portsmouth dream? That's what I don't know. It's very water-based,
it's a
I
good
imagine.
Question. It's a good question.
It's that man with the bell. He's, what's his dream?
Who, by the way, on the Discord, the Patreon guys on the Discord, I'm pretty sure there seems to be some kind of misunderstanding, because I get a lot of John Portsmouth Football Club Westwood stick on that Discord, and they seem to think it's a cowbell. It's not a cowbell, everyone. It's just a bell.
Is it not?
It's just a bell. A cowbell's one you put around your neck and it's got a very distinctive ding. This is just a bell.
Right. Has he not got one round his neck? For some reason, I thought he might have had one round his neck.
No, it's just a bell that he rings. Unless he's upped his game, which I doubt, because everything I've seen
How's his Portsmouth-based bookshop going? Luke, you're the only connection I have with
Portsmouth. His bookshop's not in Portsmouth. I think it's in Petersfield.
Right. Is that not Portsmouth? Right.
You're probably talking about 20 miles further north of Portsmouth. We've got to get these details
right.
So it's not a cowbell. Okay. The bookshop's not in Portsmouth.
Right.
Yes, he stinks of BO. Move on.
Do you reckon there'll be a younger cowbell torting wrong'un who will turn up and it'll turn
Nepo
out to
baby.
Be his
That's
son.
Me. I'm his son. I'm a Nepo baby. I got into football.
Let's start that rumour, please. Luke Moore is the son of the cowman.
I got into football broadcasting because he was broadcasting at Fratton Park every other week.
Exactly. Right, so Chelsea 3, Leeds 2 elsewhere. Chelsea survived a bit of a scare against Leeds. Conor Gallagher scoring the winner in the 90th minute. It was a great goal because he was just demanding the ball for ages. Give me the ball, give me the ball, give me the ball. Almost moonwalking into the box. And then some lovely feet, pop bang lovely. And it was really good stuff. And it really seemed to mean something to Conor Gallagher. And if nobody else in that Chelsea side, he seems to, you know, this FA Cup tie seemed to really mean something to him. And I like that.
It was a goal of superb quality. And then for those who haven't seen it, but have seen the goal that Awoniyi scored against West Ham, where he takes it on the half turn very quickly, rolls a defender and scores. It's very similar to that. It's obviously very late on. It's a crucial goal. It's important. I mean, Conor Gallagher's, you know, he's got an affinity with Chelsea. He's been there a long old time. And, you know, to score a goal under the lights in the FA Cup for your team is a big deal. So, I mean, I totally understand why he loved it. And it was a massively important goal because, you know, Chelsea are, you know, Pochettino particularly is under pressure. You know, the league season's not going brilliantly for them. For them to be in the quarterfinal. I mean, I would say once you get into the semi-final, you're really in the conversation about winning it. I think quarterfinal's probably still one game away. But, you know, they got past a kind of pretty stubborn and talented Leeds team, and they've got Leicester at home in the next round. So, I mean, they'd be fancying their chances in that game as well. So, I mean, it's a really, really important goal, massive for them given the season they're having, because in the league, really, I mean, I don't want to sound harsh, but their season's over in the league. I mean, it's unrealistic that they're going to do anything in the league this season again. So this is something that they have to get stuck into.
Yeah, I mean, well, Leeds, fans of Leeds watching at home wouldn't have seen their opening goal because ITV were showing a replay of another incident. It's something you really love
to
see.
Was it the postcode lottery? Was it like
someone's knocking at the door, someone's ringing the bell, it's that man from Portsmouth.
It's Keith Lemon.
Oh dear, yeah. I mean, not a great start for Chelsea. I mean, just a real mess at the back, but enjoyable to see. Mikhailo Mudryk scored and then celebrated by stopping and pretending to look at a watch. There's been some good celebrations over the past couple of weeks. I like them.
His goal was great as well. It's really good. And you referenced Leeds' first goal there. That was the old modern football playing out from the back, high risk stuff, and you get caught out sometimes. Not a huge surprise that. I mean, it basically happens to every team at some point in the season, it seems. But Mudryk's goal was quality. Really good. And I think he's a really good player. I just think he's having a really tough time of it personally and for all the obvious reasons. And it's been a big move for him and a big adjustment. It was a really, really important win for Chelsea, I think, because their season's done. I mean, if they lose tonight, really, I don't want to be too pessimistic, and it sounds like I am being pessimistic, but their season's done. So that's why it's massive, because they want to go to Wembley, and they should be able to get a chance to go to Wembley now, because they should beat Leicester in the next round, all things being equal. That said, Leicester, of course, are a really good team who are used to winning and who will be in the Premier League next season. So, you know, maybe perhaps not as easy as it sounds.
Wolves beat Brighton 1-0, who had a chance right at the end to equalise when the goalkeeper went up for a corner. This was sort of... It's always exciting when goalkeepers come up, but fundamentally, I don't think it's worth really getting excited about, because the keeper had a chance. he got the slightest of touches right on the end of his tour, and he fluffed his lines. And it's not even David James putting his foot through it in that volley. Do you remember when he went up and absolutely whiffed it? It's not really even a whiff. It was just a... It was just a bit of a nothing, really. I don't like to see nothings when keepers come up.
If it was, if he was wearing one of your Winkle pickers, maybe could have been
exactly. He would have got there. He had slightly larger feet. It was upset.
And you, I know you're a big fan of Jason Steele's bottom.
Yeah, when it landed, it had a pleasant heft, jiggle, and resting space. It was good stuff. I enjoyed it. I'm sure everybody else enjoyed it. And just well done that man and his calves.
And the only other big takeaway from that game was that of course Gary O'Neill taking his team marching into the quarterfinals, which is amazing. I mean, they're having a brilliant season, Wolves. But Mario Lemina scored a lying down goal.
It's not.
You
bad,
never
is
see
it?
Him.
Well, I mean, like, how lying down can a man or woman lie down?
It's difficult to get the purchase, presumably.
It is, yeah, because you're immediately your inertia stops. So then it's just all about you.
Yeah.
You and the snails. It's you and the snails getting involved and getting that ball past the keeper.
And I don't think, and bearing in mind as well, he would have had some questions to answer, because I don't think you should be lying down in the second minute of the game.
No, what are you doing lying down in the second minute of the game? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Lazy.
Question of fitness.
Lazy stuff. The final quarter-final. The final quarter-final lineup. There we go. The draw was made, unbeknownst to me, clearly. Manchester City versus Newcastle.
It's annoying, isn't it?
That's a bit of a buy, really, isn't it? I mean, Eddie Howe said, I think probably what works out as minutes before the FA Cup draw took place, Newcastle need the FA Cup, and they need a cup run this season to play themselves back into form. Wolves versus Coventry. Coventry might come up trumps in this one, do you reckon? I fancy this. I fancy them here. No? All right. Man United versus Liverpool. Liverpool bye, because Man United are turgid, but we can only hope for such a stinky match that we witnessed tonight. Chelsea versus Leicester as well. It's going to be a fun round of fixtures, but you just don't think that Coventry are going to make it.
No, I don't. I think Mason ran out of steam, obviously, and it was a pretty easy night at the office for them. And I think Wolves have got a real kind of sort of scent about them. I think Wolves might be in the final.
Right. Okay.
I think Wolves might get to the final. And I think they'll get past Coventry for sure.
Yeah.
And then I think, you know, obviously it depends if they draw in the semi, but I think they got a chance.
Beating Man City in the final and that Korean guy scores. Brilliant.
Oh, they'll probably if they probably get Man City in the final, they get whooped. It'll be... Yeah. I mean, the thing you've got to be worried about is, you know, Erling Haaland looked like literally a superhuman against Luton. It was wild.
I said he got dragged off. He didn't get pulled off. He got dragged off because he was a man possessed.
I was gutted.
Save some goals for
off.
Other matches. I know. Yeah, he could have had two bloody hat tricks.
I don't think I've ever seen a player score six goals in one game in the Premier League.
No, has it ever happened?
Sorry,
probably.
At the top level kind of thing. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It
I probably has happened, but I haven't. I can't. I couldn't remember seeing it, and I was desperate for it to happen. It was ruthlessly efficient.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a T-shirt printer, that kind of achievement. It really is a T-shirt printer.
Yeah.
Join us on Friday, where Marcus will be joined by Luke and Andy to preview a huge weekend in the Premier League. It's going to be amazing, including the Manchester derby.
The big derby is me versus Marcus in Jackson's Encyclopedia.
It's a good point. The Luke Nation
it's a big
rises
night
again.
For the Luke Nation. Reigning and defending champion. I'm going to try and do it all over again on Friday, but I need the listener support to do it, so get in touch. Let us know you're a member of the Luke Nation, but chiefly make sure you listen and subscribe to the show.
Yeah, I mean, do print out pictures of Luke's face and just give it a rub. Like, you know, like the Sun used to do, like, have pictures of stuff that you had to rub or rub against your windows and stuff.
That thing that, like, modern teenagers do with porn sites and jizz on it. Just rub it or whatever you would. Don't do any. Don't take it too far.
Lukey, I will not have you lower... on
you told on me about that ramble. On porn sites you're the one who told me about that.
yeah well, you know, certain members of my, I'm not getting into it, certain people I know, I had to email a porn site and tell them to take it down. So right, doesn't matter. Not that sounds like I'd done it. I was doing protecting the honour. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Join us on Friday. They were very slow. In the meantime, find us on X, TikTok, Instagram and YouTube at Football Ramble and follow us on Spotify. We'll see you soon. See you later, Lukey.
Bye.
Put it away.
Sports The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app and hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.